Good evening, everyone. Some time ago, someone asked me a question. He said, how can I escape? How can I get freedom if I'm in the situation that I cannot escape? And I'm stuck in the situation and I can't find any escape route. He said, how can I find freedom? So lots of people, when we talk about freedom, we always think the freedom in terms of physical freedom, isn't it? Can do what we like, isn't it? Can have all the things that we want, isn't it? It's so easy, to follow what our likes and dislikes, and just to follow our one thing. So, and this is, we think that to follow what we like, to follow our desires, we think that this is freedom. And we think in terms of the physical freedom, but a lot of people never thought about this mental, sometimes, yes, physically we think that we are free, we can do whatever we like, but mentally we are not free, isn't it? So I remember that, when I was many years ago when I was in Thailand, the first time I went to stay in this nunnery, and of course, when I first arrived there, and actually I didn't like the way they practice, and I didn't like that morning seat. They get up at 3 o'clock, and then with the chanting, and the way the chanting is very slow. And then I start to find what it's chanting, because the chanting is too slow and make me feel so sleepy, Then I didn't like it. I hated that so much, the chanting, And I find that the chanting so slow, the way they chant, because they have to chant Pali and in Thai. Pali in Thai, Pali in Thai, and very, very slow, And it's just like, how slow, It's just like, batteries, when you run out of battery, how is it like? Very slow. And I hated that so much. And then after that, after the morning seat, and then I have to go to collect those flowers. They use the flowers for medicine use, we pick up the flowers, and those flowers, they dried it, and then make it into like a medicine, like drinks, you can drain it, they dry the, I don't know what they call, it's very tiny flowers, you have to pick it up. And of course, in this tropical country, and lots of mosquito, and it's very humid, and because you have to squat down and pick up those flowers, and it's very tiring, and then lots of mosquito, and you sweat, and it's very unpleasant, and I didn't like that. And then you know what I did? The next day, after breakfast, I quickly ran back to my kuti, I hide inside. So that I don't have to do that. Really stupid, sometimes you do silly thing, And because I don't like it, I run away because it's unpleasant. I run away from that unpleasant feelings, This is how it's very easy to do things that we like, isn't it? The things that are pleasant. But things that is unpleasant, you like to run away. And actually, I did that for 3 days, 3 mornings. And I was reflecting, maybe this is not the place for me. I don't think this is a place it's good to practice, and I don't like. You have hundreds of reasons, thousands of reasons that why you shouldn't stay here. This place is no good. I just said, what happened to me? You are just finding, And then I was thinking, why? Why you're running away from unpleasant things, It's so easy to do things that you like, things that you like to do is easy, isn't it? But the things that is unpleasant is difficult. So then I told myself, no, I said, if I keep running away from things, running away from the things that I don't like, so I will never be free, isn't it? I keep running away from things. I say, I cannot always run away, you're bound to meet something, to meet the people that you don't like, and the situation, You cannot avoid, this is part of life, But sometimes we think that we are so smart, we still think that, try to escape. Then I said, no, I have to challenge myself. Even though I don't like it, I'm going to stay. I'm going to do it, you know. So then actually, then the next morning, I didn't escape. And also with the sitting meditation, I didn't like it. I was like, no. So I just accept that. It's okay, you know. Actually, it's just really amazing. The moment when I come to the place of acceptance, it's okay. It's unpleasant, you know. And actually, I feel really good because I'm no longer fighting with that and try to control and try to run away from the situation. When that moment I decided to stay, that is the letting go. Because I let go, I said, okay, I stay. And actually, the next morning, it's just amazing when I sit in meditation, I no longer feel the agitation and irritation. Before that, I feel so agitated and irritated with the chanting. And I started to like the chanting. And I got very good at the chanting, you know, even though I don't know the meaning. But I can chant in Thai so well. And people couldn't believe I can chant it so well. But I really, I can't speak, but I can chant in Thai really well. And I start enjoy doing that. Sometimes lots of suffering is how we thinking about it, and then we think that we don't like it, you know. Actually, thinking about it is more suffering than actually you doing it. Actually, the doing itself is not so much suffering. And I realize that how much suffering that actually I create myself, mental suffering, you know. And I got, you know, give rise to so much aversion, anger, and you don't like it, and you feel agitated and irritated, you know. Then actually the moment when I let go, I say it's okay. They say sometimes it's really, you know, it's easy to do things that you like. There's sometimes it's good that you challenge yourself, do things that you don't like. And then, and after that, you know, even with picking up the flowers, and then I get up, I said, you know, I straight away after the breakfast, I went up to the nuns, you know, second in charge. I said, oh, I want to pick up the flowers, you know, I'm going to do that. And yeah, at the beginning it's still unpleasant, but you know, when I come to the place of acceptance, I'm no longer fighting, you know, when I let that go, actually it's easier. So then I realized there's so much suffering that actually if my own creation is not what is the actual doing itself is not so much suffering. It's just that maybe sometimes a bit unpleasant, isn't it? It's got mosquitoes and very itchy, and it's a bit, you know, it's very humid, and I sweat, and you have to squat down. It's quite tiring, you know. But it's only physical suffering. But actually, the mental suffering is greater than the physical suffering. But I feel that it's okay. I can put up with that. It's fine. Then slowly, actually, it's amazing. You know, I stayed for a few days. I wanted to leave. Actually, I continued to stay for a month. And then after that, I still go back to stay. And before that, I find fault with everybody. I think the nuns have problem. Everybody had problem. And after that, I find that they're all very nice. You know, I start to see, you know, the kindness, you know, to see the best in others. Because sometimes how you start, you know, you keep, you know, fault-finding, you know, you have this fault-finding mind, you know. Of course, no one is perfect, isn't it? Sometimes people make mistakes, but you just hold on to that, you know, picking on somebody's mistake, and then you go on and on and on and on and thinking about it, and then you create so much suffering for yourself and a lot of anger. And this is how when we talk about freedom, we always think about physical freedom, isn't it? Do what we like. That sometimes when we do what we like, it's not necessary give us happiness, isn't it? Sometimes, like, you know, I remember I have a friend that she come from a very wealthy family. And she has a brother, and her brother being spoiled, like her brother like will always get what he wants. Whatever he wants something, his mom will give him, you know. So then he's already have like 2-3 cars, got sport cars and things like that. And the moment he knew that my friends got a new, but my friends haven't got any car, you know. And he's only got a scooter. Then the father said, no, you know, bought her a car for her. The moment she knew about that, he said, no, I want to have a car just because the sister had one. And then they said, no, no, you already have car, you do not need it. He was really upset. He would hit, he would bang everything, he would snatch everything because he can't get what he wants. So yeah, he cannot handle because he always get what he wants because the mother spy him, you know, give him whatever he, because to him he cannot handle. He always, I don't know, this, that's why she told me, I said, I don't know how my brother is going to face his life, you know, when the parents is not here. You know, now there's wealthy, the family can afford giving everything he wants, you know. But to him, like, it's a big thing if he cannot get what he wants. It's something really big. And he really crazy, my friend told me that. He really crazy, he was smashing. He will got upset, angry, until he got it. You know, because you keep feeding it. If you keep feeding our desires, it's grow, isn't it? So if you can't get what you want, you got angry. You know, so this is sometimes we think that can get what we want is we have freedom, but actually it's not. Actually, we bounded by, we become the slave of our desires, isn't it? We become a slave and we have so much suffering, and we think that, oh, you know, we're free. And also one of the things that I see, most people have this mentality like, finish up things, then I'll be free. Then I don't have to do anything. Even in the monastery, I see people, when they first started to come to the monastery, I don't know why people rushing to finish up things. Then I say, why are you rushing? You know, you're in the monastery. You're not given deadline, you know? You just, you know, you have nowhere to go. But because it's out of habit, we always think that, you know, oh, we finish off things, then finally I'm free. I can shake leg. I don't have to do anything. It's not always the case, isn't it? It's always something happen, isn't it? We think that we don't have to do anything. Shake leg, you know. And then this is sometimes people competing, you know, want to finish the faster, the earliest, the faster, the best, you know. I finish my work, then I can be free, you know. Then I don't have to do anything. It's not always the case, isn't it? Life is not like that. Yes, sometimes we wish to be like that, but, you know, it's not always the case. And the life is not under our control, it's beyond our control. And this is how now most people develop that kind of tendency, isn't it? They like to compete. They like to try to finish things, isn't it? And try to rush from one thing to another. And very busy. Don't have a moment of peace, isn't it? And then they compete with each other, who is the fastest. And I remember there were three little boys in the schoolyard. They've been bragging, you know, about how fast their father are. And then the first kid said, you know, my father can run very fast. So then when he fired an arrow, he ran. He start to run. Then he will arrive before the arrow. He can catch the arrow. And then the second child said, oh, that one nothing compared to my father. My father, when he shoot his gun, you know, then he started to shoot, he will start to run. So before he can arrive before the bullet, he can catch the bullet, you know. So yeah, nothing compared to my father. And then the third did shake his leg, his head, you know, he said, no, none of you can compare with my father. My father finish work at 4:30, he's already home by 3:45. And this is, I see now people competing, even they send child to school, you know. It's just amazing. I last time I saw an article in Hong Kong, they even have a baby class, you know. 6 months old, 8 months old, just send to class, you know. They think that, you know, they're competing, you know. If you send your kid to school at, you know, at the age of 3, I was sent at 2. And then you 2, I was send my kids, you know, at the age of 1, you know, they keep competing. And then so busy, isn't it, how we live our life? And then we don't even have one moment of peace. And this is just on and on and on. And we can die anytime. We have no one moment of peace. But actually, it becomes a habit. We don't even know that we are doing that. And then we think that, you know, once for all, I finish, I'm free. I don't have to deal with it. I have no problem. No, you can't fix the problem, isn't it? There's always something happen. That is part of life, you know. So we don't anticipate troubles, isn't it? We don't worry about what is going to happen next. No one knows. But we live well in each moment. And I like one of the comics that I read, you know, that's a Mahayana nun. She live in a cave, you know. So then one day she discovered her robes being eaten by mice. And then I really like that because it's really funny. And then she had to patch it. And then after she patched it, the next day, again another hole. And then she had to patch it. And then after she patched it, another day, another hole. And then she got so fed up, you know. And then someone suggested that, why not you get a cat? So that you have a cat, you know, to keep the mice away so that you don't have to patch a rope. So someone get her a cat. So then she got a cat so that, you know, keep the mice away, she don't have to patch a rope. Of course, you have a cat, the cat need milk. So she have to ask her supporters to get her milk every morning, every day, you know, with milk. And then she have to every morning get milk to feed the cat so that the cat can keep the mice away so that she don't have to patch the rope. But of course, you know, she find that every day she have to ask her lay supporters to get milk. It's just so too troublesome. So then she asked, maybe get a cow. So you have your own cow, you have your own milk, so you don't have to, you know, to ask for milk every morning, every day. So then finally she got the cow, that her own cow. So every morning, she got her own cow to have her own milk to feed the cat, and the cat to keep the mice away, and she don't have to patch her rope. Of course, when you have a cow, you need to feed the cow, isn't it? You have to get grass. So every day, she have to go and get hay or grass, you know, to feed the cow. So every morning, it's so troublesome. She have to ask the lay supporters, the lay supporters to get, you know, the grass, you know, to feed the cow and give milk to the cat, and the cat keep the mice away, and she don't have to patch her rope. Of course, the lay people said that, you know, it's just too troublesome. I have to every day go and look for you grass. I have to go and cut some grass and give you to feed your cow. It's just too troublesome. Why not you find a little boy to come and look after the cow? So I don't have to. He said, why not you buy a piece of land so you grow your own grass. So then you can feed so that we don't have to get you the grass every day to feed the cow. So then they got a piece of land, you know, and then they're able to feed the cow, and then the cow produce milk for the cat, and the cat keep away the mice, and she don't have to patch her rope. Then of course it's further on, and then the cow, you know, you have to somebody to look after the cow, and then they have to get the little boy, you know, to look after the cow, you know, and then to feed the cow, to get the have the grass, you know, look after the land, you know, to feed the cow and produce milk for the cat, and then the cat keep away the mice, and she don't have to patch her rope. And now, of course, you know, the boy needs to have a place to stay, you know, and then go on and on. Then she realizes that, and she becomes more busier because have more things to look after. You have to have a piece of land, and then you have to look after you have to have the property. You have to build a small hut for the boy to look after the cow. And then she realizes that, what the heck I'm doing? So then she give up everything. And then she go back. She said, it's much easier to just patch a rope every day, isn't it? So it's okay. If next day there's another hole, you patch it, and then you patch it. It's easier to patch the rope than to do all this. This is sometimes what we do isn't in life, isn't it? Sometimes we try to fix things and then we create more problem for ourselves. We try to fix things, we create another problem, and we create another problem, and we become more busy and busier than before. And then we think that we think that we're going to finish off everything once for all and we are free. It doesn't work that way. Life is not like that, because we don't understand life. And then when we talk about freedom, it's also nowadays we talk about the freedom of speech, isn't it? People think that I can say what I like, you know, freedom of speech. Yeah. And nowadays, you know, there's I have someone recently came to me that because of this person sent her daughter to a private school because she worried about her daughter being a bully, you know, so that she sent her to private school. And she discovered that actually she worried about her daughter being bullied, but actually her daughter is the one who bullied others. You know, her daughter sent a very terrible message to another girl, and that girl really badly affected, and she didn't go to school, and because she said she couldn't believe what her own daughter wrote. That message that is really bad, she told me. That is really, really bad. And then that's why she's so worried, because she said, I can understand as a mother how much I love my child. I try to protect her. I can imagine how the other girl, you know, parents feel, you know. And it's really hurting. She said she used horrible words, you know. And then the girl got badly affected. And this is how, it's not that we, you know, freedom of speech, then we cannot just blah, 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 say anything that's going to harm others, isn't it? So sometimes we think that we got freedom, and how much we follow our desires, we don't even know our motives behind that. We just follow our desires. We think that we can speak whatever we like. I have the right to speak. So this is freedom of speech. But of course, some people go the other way around, and then they suppress themselves, they don't speak up. Then this is also not right, isn't it? You need to speak up. That's why the Buddhists talk about right speech. So we don't practice right silence. We practice right speech. Right speech, the Buddha said, you have to consider the five conditions, you fulfill the five conditions, whether it is true, whether this is in the right place, right time, whether it's the words that you've been chosen, whether it's kind, it's pleasing to the ears, whether it's out of kindness, and whether it's beneficial. You have to fulfill that. You know, when you fulfill that, you can speak. You know, you don't doesn't mean that, because I'm a Buddhist, you know, so I shouldn't say anything. Then no, I remember sometimes ago someone came to me, this person said to me that, she discovered her best friend doing something that is really horrible, and she find it very difficult, it's unacceptable to her, and it's really bother her so much. And she said, I'm going to go on holiday with this person, but I know what this person has done, and it's really bother me, and it's so difficult for me to pretend that I don't know. So what shall I do? Shall I tell her that, you know, point out to her that, you know, what you have done, you know, that is not appropriate, you know, and is unacceptable. Then I said, if you are her best friend, I said, you should point it out. Of course, that you have to fulfill the five conditions, right speech. I said, no, you don't practice right silence. I said, if you truly care for your friend, you point out, isn't it? Tell her that you care for her. Tell her that, look, you know, what you have done is not acceptable, it's not appropriate, you know. And this is truly you care for the person, you know. It's not that, you know, and not like you just simply, you know, praise someone, then you're not a good friend. Sometimes people just simply like to praise someone, whether the person is right or wrong, or just like to please someone, you know. And then you just become a flatterer. It's not that, you know, but you're just speaking the truth, and you out of kindness and compassion is out of it, because this is a good friend. You really
out of kindness and compassion, you really care for that person. And I said, you point out that, but you have to fulfill the 5 conditions. You know, whether it is true. When you have to find the right time. It's just like that I talked about the lady. She said that she can't talk to her daughter because her daughter is so quite upset. Then I said, you wait until she calms down. It's best that she be able to apologize and ask for forgiveness, you know. Go to the girl and says, I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have said that. That is, you know. And also, she also forgive herself. But because she said she's still quite upset. I think she realized it. Each one of us know, isn't it, what we have done, isn't it? And she's just been the one who, you know, there's a group of them, but she's been the one who asked to send a message. The other person don't send it. And then she was the one who been stirred up to send the message. And then she was really quite upset with that too. And then she realized that too. But, you know, then I told her that, you know, you can't say anything. Initially, she was quite upset, and then she told her off, you know. And then she realized that, and this is not the right time, and it's no point, you know, telling her off, you know. I said, you know, you find the right time, right place. When she calms down, speak to her, you know, encourage her, you know, to ask her, to apologize, to ask her forgiveness, and she also forgive herself. We all, when we were young, we all do stupid things, silly things, isn't it? I said, to move on, don't carry the guilt, you know. She also forgive herself. So they say sometimes, like, you know the person that is angry, you don't say, you know, point that you say anything, isn't it, won't go in, you know. So that's why I said, you know, you find the right time, right place, you know, you fulfill the 5 conditions, you know. If it's not for example, if the person, they said, what happened if the person not happy with that? I said, if after you saying that, she's not happy with that, you let it go. Don't say anymore. You did your very best. You try your best, you know, to point out. But if this person don't listen, just up to her, up to this person. I said, if you truly being a good friend, you know, that, You point up, isn't it? A good friend that, you know, you're always there for the person. And if the person in difficulties also, you won't run away, you stay there, isn't it? To make sure that your friend is okay, you know? It's not like, oh, you see, sometimes we said that you only know whether the person is a good friend when you're in difficult situation, isn't it? Then only you know whether this is a good friend when you're in difficult situation. I remember there were two guys that these two guys that are very good friends. And one day, they went for a walk, and was a very nice there. And then they went for a walk, and then it's a park, it's a forest. And then they started to take off their shoes, you know, to walk, because they just enjoy walking on the earth, you know, they enjoy, and because it's a very nice weather. And then they come to a signboard, a very big signboard, and they said, beware of bear. And then the friend started to put on his shoes, one of the friends, his friends. Then they said, come on, don't tell me that you try to outrun the bears. So the friend, and then his friend just ignore him, continue to put on his socks, his shoes, you know. Then after that, he start running, he turned around, he said, actually, I tried to outrun you. This is what the good friends, isn't it? So that he's outrun the friend. So if there is a bear, will catch a friend, you know. So the friend will be in trouble. So that's why I said, if you truly care for your friend, you should point out, you know. They say sometimes, like, people always go opposite, either become too expressive. Freedom of speech, I can say whatever I like. And they're hurting other people's feeling. And then some people suppress, they don't want to say anything. And then sometimes you don't want to say anything, sometimes you suppress so much, and then you have lots of aversion and anger towards the other person. Like this person, she was really annoyed with that, and she felt so agitated and irritated, but she just kept it to herself and didn't tell her friend. Then I encouraged her, I said, you know, speak up and tell your friend. So remember, we practice right speech. We don't practice right silence. So it doesn't mean that being a Buddhist, we will just let people bully and don't say anything, don't stand up for ourselves and don't speak up. No, we speak up. Of course, we don't fight, we don't harm others, you know. So when we need to speak up, we need to speak up. So we practice right speech, but not right silence. So this is how we always think that, you know, this is, we got freedom from our physical action, you know, follow our desires, and then we through speech, and also sometimes through our mind. Sometimes especially, we are not free. For example, we have a mental object. Like sometimes, you know, sometimes our memories come back. Someone that hurt us so much, or someone being so nasty to us, and then we got so, and then when that memory comes back, then we are not aware of that, isn't it? We started to go into all the story, you know, thinking about how this person have done, and then we feeling it. We got more upset. We got angry. We're feeling it. So we are not aware of that. Sometimes we think that we are free. We are not free mentally. We are not free. So then we build up our anger, and until the point that you keep reinforcing that, you know, you reinforce our anger, and you keep building up. And if we don't deal with our unwholesome thoughts or our unwholesome emotions skillfully, we will build it up. We will keep building up. So, and sometimes, you know, most people, they don't have the intention of harming others. But because of the moment when we overcome by our anger, overcome by our defilements, and that moment is just insane. You don't know what you are doing. I just remember a couple of months ago, I read there was an incident in China, and the neighbors, they're having a fight and quarrel, and then this guy, the father and the son, was they were so upset that they hopped into the car, and then they knocked the lady down, the lady, you know, and on top of that, he ran over the lady back and forth, and he's really mad because when you're overcome by your anger, you really don't know, but afterwards you feel sorry. You know, because that's why sometimes if we don't deal with our defilements, you know, our unwholesome emotions, you know, negative emotions skillfully, we reinforce, we're building up, you know. And because sometimes it's been cooking, you know, it's been building up to a point that when your mind cannot hold, you know, it's explode. It's just like recently we have problem with our pipes, you know, because of we change our new solar panel, so that we have the pressure, because we need the greater pressure in order to pump into a new tank that is further, because the existing pressure not be able to pump. So then some of the pipes that, you know, they're still old pipes, you know, and they only withstand the pressure is a lower pressure. Then, of course, you know, when we change to this new solar panel, there's more pressure. And then when we have the automatic cut off, and then not allowing the water to flow in, and then this keep pumping up, and then the pressure, so much pressure, and our pipe bursts. This is how it's nature. Even the mind is also the same thing. So that's why we are not aware of that. And that's why sometimes we have we tend to neglect that our mental health. We always think that, you know, physical health, isn't it? We think that the happiness, the physical, we can do what we like. But we tend to neglect that because of we don't see that, you know. We don't see that, you know, how dangerous it is when we feed our defilements. Because we don't see that. We don't understand that. We think that we can run away from not looking at those. Like for example, when we got upset, we think that all we need to do, we try to suppress or pretend that it's not there, or we run away from it, and then we think that it's okay. But we don't see the danger of that, that actually we reinforce that. And we don't see that when we feed our defilements, it's create more suffering. We can't see that. And then that's why the Buddha said the first, when the Buddha first enlightened, he taught this four noble truth. The first noble truth is suffering. It doesn't mean that we have to suffer. It's just that the first noble truth, suffering, has to be fully understood. But we don't understand that these unwholesome thoughts that leads to suffering. You know, sometimes we have people, you know, that there's so much mental suffering, and then the mental suffering causes their physical suffering. They have a lot of bodily pain, and they went for X-ray, MRI, all sorts of checkup. There's nothing, but because of next time when you have agitation, irritation, or you have fear, or you have anger, you try to pay attention to your body. Your body really tense up. It's really tense. Imagine if someone always angry, because it's always, fear, and most people don't like to be angry, Then you fear that you're having this anger, and then you fear of the fear, this one thing leading to another, all this negative emotion. And then when you have this negative emotion, your whole body tense up. Imagine if someone always have this negative emotion, your body is tense up. Imagine yes, it always tense up. You have physical bodily pain. So, and then once you relax, you let go, the pain gone. There's sometimes how powerful our mind. So the mind sometimes affect our body. Sometimes we can even make our body sick. We have even someone have the phobia of she need to talk to someone, she have to, And if you force her to do that, she really sick. She really vomit. That's why sometimes it's how powerful our mind, we can really make our body sick. That's why the mental suffering, because then the Buddha said, thus suffering actually is come from desires. The desires come from our sense of self. We think that we can control, we can avoid, We think that we are in control, we can run away, we can avoid, unpleasant feelings, We can't. This is part of life. We have pleasant and unpleasant. So at the end of the day, it makes no difference, isn't it? Whether it's unpleasant, or pleasant, At the end of the day, even pleasant feelings also goes away. It's not going to stay. So that's why, because we don't understand that. So sometimes, yes, some of the physical suffering, some of the suffering is unavoidable, but actually we can lessen our bodily suffering, isn't it? When we accept that, for example, if we have sudden illness, we have physical pain due to old age, if we accept that, we say, okay, what do we expect? This is part of life. Actually, we have less pain, isn't it? But if we try to fight with that, we have more pain if we are not accepting that. But sometimes it's very difficult, we can't see. That's why meditation, when we practice mindfulness is like the medicine, because we don't see that. Unless you have the awareness, unless you have the mindfulness, you'll be able to see that. Especially we don't see how much suffering is our own, come from our own creation. We always think that our suffering is outside. As long as I get rid of the, leave this place, But we don't know that actually we carry that with us, isn't it? We carry that, we are not free, we carry that with us. But we keep thinking that our suffering is outside, because we not be able to see ourselves, because it's very close. To be able to see one's own defilements is very difficult, because it's too close. To look at oneself is too close. That's why when we meditate, when we practice mindfulness, we slow our mind down. When we slow our mind down, we have more space. There's space. So we paper, just imagine, for example, if we put our hand right in front, we can't see this is hand, isn't it? So when we sat back, if you have bigger space, you can see what it is. Because we just react impulsively without knowing, and then we become out of habit, become a default setting. don't even know that we are doing it. Sometimes we don't even know that we have certain underlying tendency because it's very subtle. Unless you have the clarity, unless you develop the awareness, you develop mindfulness, then you'll be able to see yourself because it's too close. You know, and then sometimes how much, you know, sometimes we create ourselves. How much, you know, sometimes we, sometimes we even create the image of ourselves, isn't it? Who I am, you know, who we are. And then sometimes the most scary things that we believe that this is a truth, isn't it? So unless, I remember a couple of weeks ago, we have someone come to the monastery, a lay guest, a lady. And she was really shocked. She said, "I need to speak to you." She said, "Nowadays when she come to stay in the monastery, when she started to calm down much more, and she said, I see a lot of unwholesome things in myself that I never seen that before. You know that because when you calm down, and then she see a lot of unwholesome thoughts and some of, you know, and lots of, she's feel that, oh, I have lots of bad thing in me. And she feel really bad. And she told me that I feel really bad and I don't know what to do. I feel that I'm such a horrible, bad person. Then I told her that, don't worry. I said, I told her, sadhu, I said, you know, to able to see yourself is very difficult. You know, I said, you just like the Buddha said, you know, if you know that you are a fool, you're still wise to that extent. I said, you need to have wisdom in order to see your own defilements because you can't see yourself. But I said, now you'll be able to see your own defilements. I said, sadhu. Because if you don't know yet that you have defilements, how are you going to work with that? You don't even know, isn't it? I said, first of all, you have to be able to recognize that. You know, you have certain underlying tendency, you have certain habitual pattern that you keep doing the same thing, you keep reinforcing that tendency. I said, first of all, you have to be able to recognize that. I said, this is really good, you recognize that. I said, it's okay. I said, if you have no defilements, you are not here. So I said, don't worry about that. I said, recognize it, you know, and acknowledge that. Don't try to push it away, pretend that it's not, that it's okay. You know, recognize, acknowledge, you know, accept, forgive yourself, and you let go. You know, I said, rather than, you know, if people think that I'm perfect, you know, I have no problem, I have no defilements, I'm such a wonderful person, I'm perfect, I'm so kind. I said, if you come and say to me like that, I'm really worried about you. Because it's just absolutely deluded, isn't it? You can't see it. So sometimes I say, you need to have the wisdom in order to see yourself because it's so close, you know? So sometimes if you see your defilements, not to worry about that. Don't try to get rid of it, you know? You're just aware of that, and then you know that you just don't feel it, you know. It's just like sometimes people try to get rid of defilements. You cannot get rid of defilements. When you try to get rid of defilements, actually you reinforce it. If you leave it alone, whatever, when the defilements pops up, if you don't feed it, it subsides. You know, if you continue not to feed it, not to react to that, you know, it's just like the wheat. If you don't water the wheat, you know, it won't grow. The same thing. Oh, you don't have to, you can't get rid of it, and you can't get rid of it. And all you need to do, you just, that's why you need to develop that mindfulness and also stillness to be able to just stay. Just watch, okay, this is the, just to be able to observe the arising and passing away of the defilements. It's come and go, it won't stay, you know. It's a subside by itself, you don't have to do anything. But we think that we can get rid of it, we can't get rid of it, you know. So it's just like the fire, you know. If you keep adding on fuel, it will keep burning. So when you stop adding on more, adding fuel, it will still burn. But eventually, when it's run out of fuel, it will stop by itself. This is how it works. We cannot get rid of our defilements. That's why the Buddha said, it's a gradual training. So it's a gradual training, you know. If you don't fit it, you know, in eventually, actually we can see, we know that we have progress. Because sometimes, like for example, sometimes like in some situation, our agitation, our irritation is very intense. But after a while, when we practice, when we're not reacting, not feeding our defilements, we can see that the intensity of that unwholesome, that unwholesome emotion become weakened. And this is how it slowly, you know, of course, you know, your anger was, you still have anger, doesn't mean that you don't feed your anger, it will stop immediately. It won't stop immediately, it's still there. But the intensity of your anger become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Stop. It's just like the ball. If you keep kicking the ball, you're adding all more energy, the ball will be keep spinning. So you stop kicking the ball, it still spin. But eventually, the ball will become slower, 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 stop. So that's why we cannot get rid of the defilements, you know. So that's why our suffering is come from our craving, our desires. So if you really want to be free, free, you have the freedom. It's not physical freedom. That is the freedom from all these desires. Because the desire is really that bind us. You know, we become the slave to our desires. So that is not the physical freedom. Don't try to escape from a place like what I did. You know, I tried to escape from the place. I thought that I'm free, but actually mentally I'm not free. So if you truly want to have freedom, that is a freedom from desires. So I offer this for Dharma reflection. May this teaching be a benefit to all of you. So any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? No, no questions? Okay, very good customer. All happy, content, happy. No questions, okay. So, okay. Good night. So, it's easy. No questions.